Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. And tonight we are recapping game two of the NBA Finals. What's up, Corey?
Nothing much, Nick. I feel like tonight went as expected and the ass whooping was given.
Yes, the Warriors came out on top in game two, taking a 2-0 series lead. They won 122-103. And honestly, this game felt over in the fourth quarter around the 7-8 minute mark when Steph Curry hit that ridiculous three.
The guy who, you know, I mean, my Lord, 9 threes tonight. He broke Ray Allen's record. He was phenomenal. And that three was just the cherry on top. You know, a 33-point outburst, plus 19. He's been the front runner for Finals MVP through two games.
Yeah, and nine of those threes, probably you could say at least four of them were horse shots. You know, they were shots that not many other players in the NBA would hit. Also, Kevin Durant played an extremely efficient game, 26 points, 10 of 14 from the field, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. He has 13 assists in this series already. He only had 19 assists in total in the 7-game series against Houston.
Yeah, I mean, he's starting to catch fire.
He's playing the right way. They're playing Warriors basketball right from the start in this one. The Warriors start off with a 15-6 lead. You know, the Cavs did a good job of kind of taking the punch and bouncing back a little bit. They even won the third quarter by 3 points. But in that fourth quarter, you know, the Warriors were able to turn it up. They're just a more talented team. You know, and I think the Warriors did a great job of making LeBron's life a lot more difficult tonight. They sent more double teams, more physical with him, kind of forced his teammates to beat him like we mentioned on the previous show. And it paid off.
Yeah, and LeBron to me looked a little tired tonight. I mean, I know he's still at 29-9-13, and he played phenomenal still, even for a game where he didn't look fully, you know, 3 days off wasn't enough. Kevin Love showed up, but yeah, the Warriors, they wanted the bench players to beat them, and, you know, J.R. Smith didn't show up tonight. Jeff Green struggled again. Jordan Clarkson is terrible in any minutes he gets. Kyle Korver's too slow, so, you know, besides Kevin Love showing up, Tristan Thompson had some solid moments. George Hill had some solid threes. But, you know, if LeBron James has to drop 50-plus for this to be a real close game.
Yeah, and Kevin Love didn't even show up until the third quarter. I believe he was 2-10 in the first half, and he scored, you know, he made 5 of his shots in the second half where he was more aggressive. You know, George Hill was solid, but like you said, J.R. Smith 1-4 from 3. Jeff Green 0-2 on 2 wide open looks. Kyle Korver 0-1, you know, and they were some really good looks LeBron got his teammates, and they just couldn't hit. He had 13 assists, but he probably could have easily had 16 or 17 assists tonight.
Yeah, no, without question. A lot of open shots not falling. And, I mean, I know we keep harping on the guy, but what happened to J.R. Smith? Like, I just can't get over. I was watching highlights today when he was on the Denver Nuggets and some of the plays he makes. And just, like, that attacking guard is just gone.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's in great shape necessarily. He probably lost a step athletically. You know, and the weird thing was J.R. started the game attacking the rim, and then he kind of went away from that. And he just kind of just played another bad game. And it really hurts because he played 31 minutes. This is a point where, you know, Ty Lue, I think, really has to consider playing Rodney Hood. Obviously, there's some issues going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. But at this point in time, you put it to the side and you at least put Hood out there and see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you saw the article today or whatever came out that Rodney Hood had to watch his old performances with the Utah Jazz to remember that he can play basketball.
Like, yeah, that's the headlines.
Yeah, so that's how bad his mental is. But I agree. I mean, there's no reason Jordan Clarkson should be playing minutes over Rodney Hood. Because at least Rodney Hood can give you some kind of wing defense.
Yeah, and at this point, you might even consider playing Jose Calderon because he at least knows how to play basketball. It's really that bad for the Cavs, and the bench performance was different. You know, Larry Nance had a big game one tonight, only 2 points. He did have 6 rebounds, but the energy wasn't necessarily there, and a lot of it goes to the Warriors, though. They played a lot better game tonight. They were more engaged. You know, passing-wise, they were great. A lot of ball movement, getting open looks. They had a 28 assist tonight on 47 made field goals, so a solid number right there, too.
No, for sure.
And I felt like I talked about KD having an assist. I felt like tonight he did a good job of actually creating for others. And that's not something we saw in the Houston series much of at all.
No, I mean, this has just been a different team. You know, it's been night and day just about. I mean, honestly, this is the championship. This is a championship team.
Yeah, and the role players stepped up too for Golden State. Shaun Livingston continues to be solid. 5 of 5.
JaVale McGee, that dude threw down a bunch of hammers tonight. The Warriors, I mean, I think at one point in time, JaVale McGee was 5 for 5, and Livingston was 4 for 4. And obviously, they finished 6 for 6 and 5 for 5. And Livingston, through 2 games in the finals, has not missed a single shot yet. So, you know, whatever that means. But yeah, like you said, the role players have been huge.
I would not be surprised if Livingston didn't miss a shot the entire finals, because he's just taking shots that he's very comfortable hitting. He's in a very good mindset right now. And like you mentioned, McGee, not only with the ability to finish what Looney can't do, but he's also done a good job protecting the rim a little bit, just being a big body inside the paint. And Jordan Bell also some solid minutes, obviously only 10, but still, I mean, the Warriors role guys really played nice in this game. And then also, obviously, when you're getting 26 from KD, 20 from Klay, and 33 from Steph, you're probably not going to lose.
Yeah, I mean, and for Durant, it was a really efficient 71% from the field. And again, we saw the assist numbers up. You know, Kevin Durant, 7 assists. Draymond Green, 7 assists. Stephen Curry, 8 assists. You know, when you got 3 guys like that and you know, over 5 assists, that bodes well for your team, too. And even though Klay Thompson looked a little hobbled tonight, you know, he can still shoot. The best thing is Klay Thompson doesn't need to dribble or to move to be efficient. He's, you know, extremely efficient is when he's not dribbling, is when he's shooting. So even though he's a little bit hobbled, you know, he's still the marksman.
And the fact that the Warriors kind of pulled this away late in the fourth and they're able to go to the bench, got Klay some extra rest, only 33 minutes, that bodes well for Game 3. You know, there's not really much to say about this game other than the fact that the Warriors just kind of played to their talent level. The Cavs played like the team that we expect from them, and they didn't play, you know, LeBron didn't have a legendary game. He had a great game for, you know, most player standards, but it wasn't legendary. And against the Warriors, they pretty much need LeBron to do that for them to have a chance to win.
Yeah. There's one thing I wanted to just bring up and maybe rant about with you. I don't know if you agree. The jumping into a defender that gets called for a foul. Curry did it. I don't know who he did it on, but he jumped into the defender. He shot free throws. What?
I think it was either Kyle Korver or Larry Nance.
I think it was Larry Nance, actually. But then in the second quarter, LeBron did it in the corner, and he got JaVale McGee to leave his feet, and LeBron jumped into McGee, but there was no foul call.
Yeah, and we saw the same thing in the Houston series. I want to say it was either Game 6 or Game 7, and we mentioned it on the show. It cost James Harden about 6 or 9 points in the game where they didn't give him the same call.
Yeah, Game 6. Yeah, it was Game 6.
And it feels like something that's inconsistently reffed around this league, and especially on certain ones where it feels like the shooter really is waiting for them to almost land and they hit them. I don't know. The NBA has to really look on that, and they have to, you know, go one way with it. Either they're going to make the call every time or they're not going to make the call and they're going to call it offensive foul. They have to decide on it. They can't, you know, be wishy-washy and go side to side. But I thought officiating in this game, you know, obviously the end score didn't necessarily matter, but there's a couple calls. That one LeBron play where Steph and Klay kind of tripped up LeBron when he was in the air. God. I don't understand how they didn't call that one.
Yeah, you know, I know it's not football, but if they were cornerbacks and LeBron was a receiver, neither one of them even looked to see where the ball was.
They could have used the guy called for a PI.
LeBron James would have been pass interference all the way, 15 yards. There was definitely a few. I mean, there's always missed calls. I know we mentioned this, but it just always feels like there's certain ones that are momentum kind of, you know, switching ones. And I definitely felt like the Curry getting the shot on the, you know, forcing the contact, and then LeBron not getting it. And like you said, you know, LeBron getting hit by Klay and Curry, although they're not as big as LeBron, you know, 2 guys, it equals 1.
And then after, you know, they made the contact in the air, it clearly looked like Steph stuck out his leg. And not saying he intentionally tripped LeBron, but he definitely tripped him up. And you see that call made all the time. That was a very strange play. And then the fact that Ty Lue got teed up on that play after Draymond Green consistently does literally the same thing that Ty Lue does on most calls he disagrees with is just kind of crazy. Like, the NBA needs to deal with that too. I think that's something to look at is, you know, Jeff Van Gundy mentioned it. We mentioned this on the show a lot, is certain guys, because they're so aggressive all game defensively and vocally, they're not necessarily called for fouls or technical fouls, where, you know, certain players shouldn't be treated differently. If you're going to act like that, they should just tee him up. And if he gets ejected in the first half, that's on him.
Yeah, no, for sure. Show some aggression.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. But best Warrior tonight?
It's got to be Curry. You know, 33 points, 11 of 26. I feel like he really set the tempo. He was aggressive. Obviously, when Curry's hitting those, I mean, they're pretty much haymaker threes, you know, when he just tosses it up and it somehow goes in, end of a shot clock. Curry's been phenomenal. For me, he was definitely the MVP of the night.
Yeah, I think you described it perfectly with the haymakers. They're just deflating. You know, in some of the possessions, they played great defense. They forced him into a weird shot. He still hits it. I think, you know, KD deserves an honorable mention because he felt like he fit more in the offense tonight. And like I mentioned, he got his teammates involved. And he also shooting a lot better shots. Only three threes tonight. He made two of them. And I felt like a lot of his shots were in the paint area, or he at least drove to the rim and then pulled up instead of just kind of settling. So I thought he played a very nice game. Any Warrior you would like to see step up for game three?
I mean, I would like to see Draymond kind of hit some of his wide open threes, but he doesn't really need a score if everybody else around him is going to.
Yeah, there's not really much to say on that. And I think most, if they play this way again in game three, they're going to win. That's the thing in this series is the Cavs could play a perfect game in most situations. And if the Warriors play probably 80 to 90% of their standard, they're going to win the game. And it just sucks to say we probably saw the best matchup in the last round. But on the Cavs side, best Cleveland Cavalier tonight.
Best Cavalier tonight. I mean, it's LeBron James, right? I mean, Kevin Love had some nice showing, but for me, it's got to be LeBron.
Yeah, it's always LeBron. I mean, I like I said, 13.
It's a trick question at times when you ask me. Like, I have to like double check my notes. I'm like, am I missing somebody? Is there a diamond in the rough?
I mean, I think LeBron was probably even better than Steph tonight in terms of what was asked of him and the amount of defensive pressure he faced tonight. You know, still 29 points, 10 to 20 from the field. The Warriors also did a good job when he got in the paint a couple times. You know, there were still some open layups and dunks, but he did a better job making it a little bit harder for him in there as well. So LeBron's great. Also, like I mentioned, I thought George Hill played a solid game as well. He put in a lot of effort. He was more aggressive offensively. But overall, you know, there's plenty of Cavs that need to step up. Who's the main guy, though, for game three that needs to play big?
I mean, I'm going to say it's Kevin Love. It's got to be the number two. Kevin Love was really good in game one. I think LeBron has to have a number two. And if anyone's going to put in a big, you know, a big effort in at home, it's got to be Kevin Love. You know, Kevin Love needs to me to have 25 plus with, again, 10 plus rebounds.
Yeah, one thing Love did a good job, he worked a little bit more on the boards. I felt like this game, four offensive rebounds, you know, consider that effort again in game three. But I mentioned, you know, some of the guards needing to step up. I think J.R. Smith still, I mean, there has to be some way. He's played a little bit better at home that he needs to knock down threes. LeBron at least needs that from him. You know, Jordan Clarkson, if he's going to play, he needs to be better. Or if they put in Rodney Hood, you know, maybe Hood can come in and give them a boost and he'll play in the moment. But it does not look good for the Cavaliers. Adjustments you want to see on the Warriors side moving into game three? Anything, or just play the way they played tonight?
Play the way they did tonight. You know, there's no need to mix it up. Don't fix what's not broken. I mean, obviously in game one, they were kind of lackadaisical, but in game two, they showed up. And I think this is the kind of effort you need to pretty much sweep the Cavs.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, there's maybe some minor things. 12 turnovers tonight, maybe clean that up. Perimeter defense in terms of three-point shooting, I felt like they could have closed out a little bit better. We mentioned they missed a lot of wide-open threes. But for the most part, offensively, they played more like Warrior-style basketball. They did a good job attacking some of the weaker defenders. You know, Steph got Kevin Love in a lot of one-on-ones, and he pretty much ate him alive. You know, Love is putting a lot of effort defensively, but he's just not athletic enough to keep up with these guys.
100%. You hit the nail on the head.
Cleveland, adjustments for game three?
I mean, hopefully LeBron drops 40, and then everybody else, just you got to hit your threes, you got to hit your shots. You know, Kyle Korver, you know, he didn't have a three tonight. You know, J.R. Smith was 1 for 4. I like George Hill. George Hill, I thought, was aggressive, maybe not as aggressive in the second half as I would have liked. But, you know, the role players, they have to show up. You're going back home. Game three is probably the best chance the Cavs have at winning another game in this series after losing game one.
Yeah, I think you just need to hit shots too. You know, I mean, they shot 41% from the field, 33% from three. And like we mentioned, a lot of wide open threes they just didn't hit. You know, you need to do that. They need to do some of the things they've done, offensive rebounds. They have to win that battle every night. And they have to find a way to kind of limit Steph. You know, it's crazy to think about, but you have to pick him up at a ridiculous spot on the floor. Almost when he crosses half court, you need to get into him. Some plays they did a good job, but it's literally you have to do it consistently, you know, 100% of the game. You can't give him one play off. If sometimes it might mean giving him and, you know, giving somebody else an open two or an easier shot, but that might mean, you know, not letting Steph to get on one of these crazy runs.
I think it's probably the only thing you can try to do at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's not really a lot just because they're so limited. You know, the Warriors did a good job even when they run ISO, forcing the mismatches where George Hill was on KD a couple times down low, or, you know, Klay got Kevin Love, Curry got Kevin Love. And it feels like When the Warriors get mismatches, they're taking advantage more than the Cleveland is. Cleveland obviously did a better job in game one, and it's going to be a lot on LeBron. And I think they're going to do a lot of the same thing defensively where they're forcing other Cavs to beat them. So it's just going to be, you know, they need somebody, you know, like Jeff Green played a big game 6 and 7 in the Boston series. They need that in game 3. They just need overall a great team effort and a lot of energy. Do you feel like that J.R. Smith play from the end of game 1 impacted them tonight, or just the Warriors were the better team and it didn't really matter if the Cavs came out and played hard?
I mean, it has to have an impact. It has some kind of mental impact. You know, when you have a chance to take a game at Oracle against the, you know, the NBA champions, a team that's the, you know, the big favorite to win this, you know, this series, and you blow a game that you should have had, which could have changed the entire dynamic of the series. And now, you know, in game 2, you're pretty much down by 10 the majority of the game, felt like.
Yeah.
So yeah, it drains the team.
It felt like the Warriors were in complete control. Even when the Cavs got it close, you know, I think there was one point in the third or fourth where they got it to like 4 or 6 or something. And then the Warriors, next thing you know, it's like a snap of the finger. They pulled away. It was up back to up 11. I think, you know, it deflates you, and they needed to win that game 1. I don't know if it really would have mattered if they won, because I felt like Warriors were going to win game 2 regardless, especially if they had lost that game. But it has a big impact on the series. And now it's not looking good for the Cavs. Moving forward in game 3, what do you expect?
We're probably gonna see the best LeBron for again. Like, LeBron's gonna be completely energized. I'm expecting a huge game from him. I'm expecting the Cavs actually to score 100 plus. They're gonna have this game around 5. I don't know if they close it out, but it's gonna be a really close competitive game 3.
Yeah, I think this will be a closer. I agree. I think game 3 will be closer. Like you said, LeBron's going to play as hard as he can. And if they're trying to limit him offensively, I wouldn't be surprised if he picked it up a little bit on the defensive end. But it's going to be up to the Cavs role players and the supporting cast to just hit shots. Who's going to win game 3?
It's tough because I want to say the Cavs, but I'm saying the Warriors. I think the Warriors win possibly on a buzzer beater.
Yeah, I think this one for the soul kind of tells you you want the Cavs to win, but, you know, mentally your brain is telling you the Warriors, like, they could probably play a little bit better than they played tonight and go to Cleveland. They know it's a big game, and they know if they win game 3, it pretty much ends the series. Do you think if they win game 3, it's a sweep?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I actually thought it was a sweep after they blew game 1.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident in the sweep right now. I think we both picked the sweep for the Warriors in the series to win another championship, and it sucks for the Cavs, but to be honest, they're just not talented enough to beat the Warriors, and it's nothing against them. They don't have the luxury of having a Steph Curry, a Kevin Durant, a Klay Thompson, and a Draymond Green. They just have a LeBron James and a Kevin Love who's somewhat inconsistent.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're spot on. There's not much to talk about, right? It's there's one team that's just significantly better than the other. You know, if Kyrie Irving was in this series, maybe I'd feel a different way, but it just feels like LeBron and friends at this point. Like, even though Kevin Love's an all-star, and there's just not a ton of help around him, you're facing that Montrossi dynasty over in Golden State.
If you could add one player to the Cavs to give them a chance in the series, you know, an active NBA player, not a Michael Jordan or anything like that, but a guy who's in the league right now, what player would you add that would give the Cavs a chance in the series?
I would pick a wing player, so somebody like Jimmy Butler, Kawhi, or Paul George. I'm not going to say one of those three. I think they need a wing.
What about Anthony Davis? Would you consider him?
Oh, I mean, of course. Like, I mean, if you get a guy like that, I don't know why I didn't think about him. I mean, that would completely change the dynamic of the series, even him or DeMarcus Cousins, because those two guys I feel like are the kryptonite to the Warriors because of their size.
Yeah, I think I would really love AD just because offensively he could provide some problems, and defensively he can switch a lot more than like DeMarcus Cousins. But I also love the Kawhi Leonard because it's easy to forget about Kawhi, but obviously he's had some success, and he also has the ability to ISO a little bit where so LeBron could get some rest. But obviously that's just a hypothetical world. That wraps it up for today. You can check out all the game recaps. You know, we also dropped another pod this weekend about Brian and Colangelo's burner accounts, Corey's new segment, also new coaches around the league. Check that out on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGBasketball.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio. But thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. And as always, thank you, Corey.